Sip, Create, Repeat. A podcast providing marketing strategies you can consume over a cup of coffee.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sip, Create, Repeat podcast. This is kind of a relaunch of our podcast officially. So today I'm super excited to introduce our very small audience to Sam. Sam has been working with us for a while now, and she is a brilliant social media strategist and social media marketer. So I'm really excited for this episode to talk specifically about social media and trying to kickstart that for businesses that, maybe struggle with the idea of being consistent and seeing social media as something that is a platform for business. So the title of this episode is The Social Media Marketing Kickstart. And today we're going to talk about navigating the social seas and give a bit of a beginner's guide into social media growth. So if you feel like you're a social media expert, you can still stick around. Maybe you'll pick up a thing or two. But if you're really what I would like to focus this episode on is talking specifically to small business owners, especially as we approach Black Friday, Cyber Monday, the shopping season, and where people are going to be putting an emphasis on small business and supporting businesses that maybe they hadn't supported ever before. And so I'm really excited for this. So Can you, Sam, discuss a little bit the importance of social media for business in general, not even, you know, from a marketing standpoint, just in general?
Yeah, I think more and more people are aware that we're in such a digital age right now. Within that, social media and platforms like Instagram are becoming an almost storefront for your business that I think are in a lot of cases, just as important as a website. They're the place that the customer is interacting with you every single day. They're such an important touch point. I don't have a stat on hand, but there's something went out there of how many people go to visit an Instagram profile before they buy from a business. And I think a lot of that is websites that they found. They go and check the Instagram. It's a way that they can see customers in the product. If it's, say, fashion, if it's beauty, anything e-commerce related, you're seeing more content and reviews on the platforms. It is just such an important touch point to manage the relationship and advertise.
I think when you think of a brick and mortar store, you walk into a brick and mortar store, and if it feels really like dirty or not well kept, like you automatically are kind of turned off by it, right? Or you're like, okay, the pictures in this place, maybe they still have those old motivational pictures from, like, you know, 1990 or whatever it is. Like, if things, you start to form an opinion in your mind a little bit about, like, man, I don't know if I want to spend my money here. People do the same thing on the social side, right? Like, just having a profile and like a little bit of a presence, maybe an appropriate logo or things along those lines are just like those little ways where people say, like, okay, this person clearly cares about their business. And that is, that's at least a step in the right direction.
I mean, it gives credibility, right? Like, yep. Setting aside the positioning angle of this is elevating your brand or this is making it seem more prestige or premium, it's just lending credibility that you are a business that exists. These are products that you are selling. There's so many kind of, I guess, more like scams and such out there that people are aware of. They're really careful. So having maybe a logo that's not sized correctly in the profile picture could throw somebody off. You want to just manage kind of the foundations, just like you said, in the brick and mortar that you would to have a presence. And then based on that, you can then position yourself within the industry and in the customer's mind.
Yeah. So with that, let's talk a little bit on the strategy side. So what are some of the basics, and you touched them a little bit there, but what are some of the basics for like a what you would consider a complete social media profile? Like if I were that mom and pop shop that is small and like, I don't know a lot about social media, but I know it's important and I know I got to do it. Like, what are those things that are just like crucial to making sure that your profile is at least in good shape?
Great question. The profile, let's start top to bottom. The profile picture, there's some arguments to be made of whether it could be a person in the picture or a product. I'm going to just give a generalization that let's put a logo there to start with. If you have a well-designed logo, ideally it's even just your icon or one of the smaller logos that can fit. One mistake here, I think, is if you have a very horizontal long logo that can be really hard to fit into a circle icon on social media. So putting an icon there, if you have a brick and mortar store, it could even be something like a picture of that store. I think that's fine. But it's something that you want and people are already identifying you with. So the logo is really easy to see on all the customer touch points that you have, right? Ideally, it's on your packaging once they get the order, and then that process starts at the social media page. Bonus points if it can be something that's not white, just because I feel like that blends in with the social media platform so much that I think a lot of people don't realize. And this is not saying it's the end of the world if it is, if that's your jam. But I think just being cognizant of when you look on social media, maybe you have a secondary color that you can switch into, because all of the kind of UI of Instagram and on a lot of social media pages is white surrounding your profile. So it's just going to make your icon even appear even smaller and take up less space. Beyond that, you have your name on Instagram. So you're going to put the actual name of your business. If you are a brick and mortar store, you could also include a location, or you specialize in a local business in one location. Maybe you're a massage therapist in Raleigh, North Carolina. You want to put that in your name because that's going to help people search you more when they're searching for a business on Instagram. I'm going to use Instagram, but this could apply to many different social media platforms. And then you have your bio. So you want to include something about your business. So an overview of, I'm a web, you don't have to say I'm a web designer specializing in X, Y, and Z. Anything you would say about your niche, because then when those people see your profile, they're going to know that you are serving them as a client. And then you want to include a CTA in your profile if applicable. I see this a lot more for, say, an e-commerce business, but it could also apply to that service-based business who's, say, get your free site audit, get $10 off below, use TikTok 10 for 10% off. Any of those CTAs I think are really helpful in that bio to just get somebody to convert and click the link. So under that, ideally there's a link there. Some social media platforms like TikTok will limit when you can put a link in your bio as a business. But as soon as you can, you want to have a link to your website there. If you are a service-based business and you don't have a website yet, I would encourage you to put some sort of placeholder there. But if not, you could always like link a LinkedIn, anything, your portfolio there. On Instagram, you then have highlights. I think this is not, if you're talking base features that a mom and pop shop, someone needs to get on Instagram, I don't think highlights are a need to have. They are a sort of a nice plus level two step up, if you will. And these are things that you can include, like a portfolio of client results. So going back to like that web designer or branding person, you can have a portfolio of projects that you've done. You could have reviews. So you could actually take when someone shares your work to their stories or tags you. Same thing on e-commerce, right? Someone's tagging you in their story. It's a review without having to get them to leave it on Google. And you could store that in your highlights. And then that's evergreen right there that someone can go and look through as soon as they get to your profile. That's going to establish credibility. It's just going to lend so well to converting those viewers into customers. Then you're going to get into your feed. Ideally, I know we'll get into this later on as well, but you're going to have well-lit photos and videos. I think that almost any content's better than no content, right? Like if you're just getting into taking photos and videos of your business, I don't want to intimidate you or kind of scare you off from it. I think some really good fundamentals are just clear resolution. So making sure that the item that is in focus should be in focus, right? This can be hard when there's a lot of moving parts, but just simplicity I would always err towards. Well, good lighting, ideally it's natural lighting. So take your photos and videos during the day if you can. Maybe it's in the mornings, maybe it's in the afternoons on some sort of lunch break, but that is just going to, that natural light does really make a difference in my experience. Depending on the type of business, would err towards less graphics on a post than not. You may disagree with me here, I'm not sure, but I do find that the natural, just something that looks more like someone just picked up their phone and shot it almost, mm-hmm. Is starting to perform a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And then something that's maybe created and more graphic that we would do in, say, an email. Mm-hmm. it might depend on the platform as well. And then in your caption, I err towards not making captions as long as possible, but definitely making them long enough that the right keywords are in there. So two things in captions you want to be aware of is keywords and then the time on screen. So when someone is reading your caption, say in a reel, they're spending more time on the video. And so that video completion rate is actually going to increase. And so that is going to do better for your video in the algorithm. So if someone is watching, say, it's a 10-second video in 5 seconds and they click the caption, it's going to show it and the video is going to continue to play. So that it's going to increase your stats, which is going to increase how well you do in the algorithm and the amount of reach you get for that video, right? So time is a big one. Two is keywords. So the actual words in the caption and the hashtags are going to help determine who your video gets pushed out to and the type of audience you're reaching, which is going to help because if your video is reaching the right audience, ideally you're going to get a higher engagement and you're just attracting the right people that you want for your business. Last thing is hashtags. My strategy right now is sort of a 10-ish hashtag strategy. So three hashtags about the type of business that you're in. So you're selling, say, wheels and tires and rims. Three hashtags about your target customer persona. And then three hashtags about the actual post. So what's going on in the post? Is it a specific product you're highlighting? So if you're in the wheel, I know we serve a client in the automotive industry. So if you're talking about wheels and rims and tires, talking about the actual type or the type of car. So is it a Tesla on wire wheels? Mm-hmm. That comes into that third versus the car builds and the type of people who are building these cars would be that second layer. And the first layer would be about the automotive industry. Beyond this, you could use location-based hashtags. You could use more hashtags just about your business and industry in general. That's going to be more subjective, but I think just a good place to start is looking at that 333. And then within which hashtags to pick. So say there's a lot of options, right? If you're looking at, say, a social media manager's profile, you'll see hashtag social media manager, hashtag social media managers, social media manager diffs. Like there's so many. I try and aim to find a variety of smaller ones and larger ones. So some that are in, say, that 10 to 100K range, some that are in that 100 to 500, and some only a few that are in that 500 to a million use range with hashtags. This may be sort of your second step, level two, level three of setting up an Instagram profile. But just because I think so many people I've talked to recently were never taught how to do hashtag research and hashtag strategy and just using it as keywords within your post, I think that is such a good basis that I hand to clients to go off of when you're just starting out. And then from there, we can expand and say, oh, this type of hashtag is performing really well. Let's try and find a couple more to put in our posts that are close to this one, or why is this one performing well? And can we apply that? Like, is this a smaller hashtag and very niche? Let's see if we can find some other super niche ones.
Love it. So going back really quick to your comment about graphic, you know, posts versus photo posts, I fully agree with you that they should be photo heavy and not graphic heavy. And I think one of the common issues that we see, so like, let's say we take over a new social media account that someone was managing before that. Oftentimes they're posting like a full blown like Word doc as like a single page image on social media. And that's super, super, super common. So if you're listening to this and you've done this, you're not like, you know, I'm not calling you out specifically, but it's really common to see. And one really good thing that you could do is how can you turn those sorts of items into maybe a photo or two or three into more of like a gallery. But to Sam's point, then you take that information, you put it into your description, the goal being that people are spending more time specifically on your post. You know, okay, they might not, you know, throw you a heart or a like or anything along those lines, but as long as they're spending just a little bit of time stopping the scroll and looking over the specific content that you're talking about, then there is that chance, right? And there is that chance that you can convert them into paying more attention to your business and brand because of it. So I do love that. I think it makes a lot of sense. So, you know, there was a lot in there, and I'm thinking of the platforms specifically for businesses. And obviously this is going to vary based on the type of business that you are. And so I want people to keep that in mind as they listen to this, but do you have any sort of guide to choosing the right platform? Like, as I was sitting here taking a couple of notes, I thought of 8 platforms immediately, right? Like, immediately you have TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, X, or Twitter. Threads, people don't forget about it, because I do still think Facebook's just going to kind of let that, see what happens there. LinkedIn, YouTube, and Pinterest. And so, like, that's a lot, and they're all very different. So
you could even count Snapchat in there.
Yeah. So how do you choose the right platform? Because obviously if we're keeping in mind of, like, the small business owner, right? And, like, you know this as well as I do, like, your day gets pulled in 1,000 directions. And having the time to sit down, I mean, how many times have we talked about relaunching this podcast? Having the time to finally sit down and do it is half the battle. And so how do you choose that good platform for a business for your specific types of businesses? Are there platforms that work better for certain types of businesses over others?
To an extent, yes. Like, there is platforms that are going to serve you even just slightly better, depending on, I'd say, who your customer and target audience is, what type of business you have, and then your time and budget constraints, right? Like, there might be people who can, and maybe content's a little bit easier for them, and they can operate on 3 platforms a day. But I think focusing on 1 to 2 in the beginning, especially for the small business owner, is going to be extremely crucial. So starting with where your customer is, just some baseline demographics. I think there's still a stereotype of TikTok being for maybe a younger audience, but I think that's becoming less and less true. It's still predominantly going to be people, I think, in their teens and 20s, but there is a large portion of the audience that is growing in the 30s and 40s plus range, who are your more mature buyers. I've worked with B2B clients on TikTok, right? Like, that's possible. But I think if you are, say, your audience is, you're a B2B company, your audience is going to be the owners or the VPs, the decision makers, the buyers. LinkedIn might be a better suit than TikTok at first. Also, because if you're a B2B company, and say this is, I was talking to someone in new construction recently last week, and we were talking about what platform would actually might serve them well for what they were selling. And my inkling is always to push people on like TikTok and Reels, just because I think there's such organic potential there. But for a business like that, A, short form video is going to be a lot harder for them to create than photo and copy. So, like, that text and photos is going to be a lot easier. And so them being on LinkedIn is going to be a much easier lift and path of least resistance, at least at first. They are also going to be able to pretty directly see who is engaging. And since it's a high ticket B2B company, they can actually see the profiles of people who are liking, and they'll have their professional titles, which is really helpful. And you can generate leads for a sales-based organization, I think, a lot easier that way. If you are, I mean, anything, right? Like Lululemon, I'm thinking of what I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, sure.
But like any e-commerce, fashion, beauty, doesn't have to be that. I will, I think, always push a little bit towards TikTok, especially with TikTok Shop right now. Instagram, because of that storefront that I think doesn't exist in another platform as well as it does on Instagram as that storefront for your business. Yep. That's going to lend credibility. You have the reviews, you have the try-ons. So I'm going to almost always push a little bit in that direction when possible. I think if you have a more e-commerce, physical goods, consumer packaged goods business, Facebook is also working pretty well. It's then about what type of content you can create more easily, right? Is it more photos or is it more videos? If you can create more videos, I'm going to push you towards TikTok and then just repurposing those TikToks as reels, which just means taking and saving that content and then putting it out as a reel. You can use almost the same caption. I would just add and check the hashtags. But that's a pretty low, if you're already posting on TikTok, why not also post it on Instagram or even on Facebook? But yeah.
And I think that is one of those things where people view it as 8 platforms 8 very different pieces of content have to get created, and it's not always the case. They may have their different formatting, and, you know, like on YouTube, obviously it's going to be more of a 16:9, which is like, think of, you know, if you're listening to this, turning your phone sideways versus holding it vertical. They do have YouTube Shorts. So again, when Sam is referencing taking and shooting something in TikTok or Instagram Reels and repurposing it on other platforms, it could be repurposed into Shorts as well on YouTube. So there is that ability to kind of take content and pick it up and you know, kind of recycle it across multiple different platforms. So you don't have to be super overwhelmed about that. And to your point, talking about Facebook and e-com and direct consumer, and we'll talk about this here in a few minutes when we get to paid social, but today I did just see an announcement on Amazon and Meta, so Facebook and Instagram, partnering so that there is basically a one button push checkout on Amazon through Facebook ads. So if you are somewhere, you know, if you are an online store or you're a direct consumer brand and you have your products on Amazon already, they just made it 10 times easier. And I bet you the conversion rate is going to be through the roof if you run specifically run Facebook ads to your Amazon products in that way. So we can talk about that here in a few. Let's move on though to the content side, right? So, okay, you have you picked your couple of platforms and you got a profile set up and you're ready to go, but like, what is the easiest way for a busy person to create content and stay consistent with it? That's going to be the key here. If you're listening to this, is everyone has a tendency of like content waves. How can you be consistent with it so that you can continue to show up?
Yeah. Creating a system that'll then translate into a content calendar. So I think anything that can be systemized can be scaled. If it can't be systemized, it can't be scaled. And that goes with your time, right? And just creating content regularly and consistency, because it can come in waves for a lot of us. I mean, it still does, right? So the baseline is figuring out what types of content you need to be posting or that will resonate with your target audience. This will include sales content, but this will also include community engagement content, right? Like content that's not specifically designed to generate a sale. It may translate in one by someone going to your profile, but content that's meant to educate and inform and connect with your target audience, that is just as important, if not more than that, more sales promotional advertising content. So if we're just saying, Sam, give out a general strategy to anyone on the internet running a business right now, here's what I would do. I would do at least 3 posts a week, and I would make 2 of them community driven and 1 sales. I would do 1 that's sort of educational and informational about the product. I would do 1 that's connecting with your target audience. And I would do then that 1 that's promotion about your product. Maybe you're running a sale, even if you're not running any sort of specific promotion, it is showing the features of the product. So how that's different from the education, I would just say the education, again, this is for any business. So it's going to be a little bit different. If you're in a service-based business, this might be education based on the actual industry, or like if you're a spa, this is the benefits of going to a spa, or information about your specific one versus the promotion, maybe about a specific service that you're running. That is at a baseline what I would do if you were just asking. This is going to change based on, again, the industry you're in, the people you're targeting, and then also what your capacity is. If you are someone who, like we discussed, platforms that's operating on the more short-form video side, so TikTok and Instagram, I would prioritize doing as many of those as you can in short form. I would say the one, if 2 could be videos and 1 could be a static post, I would do the actual product promotion as a static post, because I can think you can feature the details of the product no matter what it is. The difference may just be if you're a service-based business. Again, this may lend itself more to video. Once you have that established, you can then batch content if you're able to. So you can sit there and prepare. Different people, different things work well for them. I have clients that I've worked with where they want to create content every single day. And at the beginning of the first thing in the morning, they're knocking it out. And that's their strategy that works for them. That's the system that works for them. Some are a weekly, and then some are, let me just sit there for an entire day, 1 day a month, and get all the content done for that month. it's whatever works for you. Mm-hmm. So once you have a system, I think it becomes easier to get it done faster. And also, if you want to be someone who gets it done one day a month, the system is what's going to enable you to do that. So when you have this outline, you can then go in and say, this is the product I want to talk about. This is the pain point I want to talk about this week. And you're able to spread it out. So if you're doing three posts a month, say that's, or three posts a week, say that's 12 posts a month. Mm-hmm. Okay, how can I create 12 pieces of content today? So you go in and you film the videos. You might script them. You'll find trending sounds. You'll take the photo content. And then you're going to go in and schedule them. So making sure you're still posting every week at the right time. You're going to use a content calendar. One of the ones we frequently use is just the Facebook Business Manager, the Facebook mm-hmm. Creator Studio. And so you can go in and schedule your content for Facebook and Instagram right there. There are also other scheduling tools. So I've used Sprout Social. That's a great one. It's a little bit more robust, but there are quite a few that will get the job done depending on your needs. Mm-hmm. And a quick Google search, you can kind of go through them. There are the prices, I think, are very similar for different platforms. Just a little bit variance depending on how many times you're posting, how many social profiles. So if you're a small business owner, you only need one. But a social media manager or an agency like us, we yeah. need quite a few. Yeah, yeah. So it's going to cost us just different. It's going to be priced differently.
And I think, you know, if you decide when you're going through this and you decide that Facebook and Instagram are your like good platforms to run with, Creator Studio is great. It's free. Like it's great. It gives you a lot of really good features for a free platform. So certainly recommend that. And it allows you to build stuff out in a calendar view too, so that you can see where you have those holes and you can start to fill those as you need. So, and I think that's really good. And I think your point about not always going for the sale is so crucial, right? Because we've all seen it. You're on the internet in any way, shape, or form. You get just barraged with ads, offers, do this, get this. It's no different than commercials on TV, right? Like you're always getting sold something. And it's those ones, it's those times when you see something that's not, you know, a full-blown sales pitch or even a sales pitch at all. Like we have another client in the automotive space, but on the automotive like detailing, so they clean cars. Right around Halloween, his probably top performing post of the year in terms of engagement was, hey, we just got done cleaning out a car and found a candy bar, like, you know, in the car. So we started having a debate internally, what's the best Halloween candy? And like, he had 200 comments in 20 minutes. And it was just one of those things where like, you know, sure, that's not ultimately, you know, the accountants aren't going to love that post specifically, because it's not moving the needle, if you would, on that side of things. But there's something more to just having like a brand in a being a company where people can just connect with you and not always asking for just like sale every single time. I think that's huge.
For sure. I had another thought. I forgot about it.
All good. So, you know, I think there are so many different types of content out there. And I think we've touched on most of them here. Where video content, obviously, if you're comfortable on video, if you're comfortable with that, it feels like, you know, TikTok, Instagram Reels, Facebook Reels, YouTube Shorts, it feels like those are going to be really great platforms. When it comes to maybe not, you know, I think it's still imagery can go on just about any platform. So did your thought come back to you?
I did remember earlier when we were talking about people who might be posting full, say, Word documents on their social media. That's happened to clients that we've come in and helped before. And I think mm-hmm. a big kind of problem or mindset shift is that not everything needs to go on social media, right? Like you don't need all of the details and everything that people need to know in one Instagram post. You need just enough that when they see it, they can like maybe put it in their calendar, or they can screenshot yep. it, and then they can go and RSVP or get the full details on your website or on some other location. I think that that's the biggest kind of hurdle where people are posting so much and they get into that, oh, we need to have all of these, like, we need to have like all these, it's like a whole paragraph, right? Like a job posting you're posting on social media, but really you just need like the title. Maybe it's a base salary. Maybe it's whether this is full time and the location and any like requirements. And then here's how to apply. Same thing for any event. You need the time, the location. Maybe they go somewhere else to find out the exact layout of the event. They go somewhere else to find out exactly what time, like every piece of it is starting. That's not always needed in that one social media post.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a way to think about it is, especially on the organic side, we'll get into paid here in just a minute, but on the organic side, I think viewing it as a funnel, and like the social media is not the bottom of the funnel. It is the top of the funnel. You're trying to collect people. You're trying to find people, and you're trying to ultimately get them to a place that, you know, and I guess a piece of quote unquote real estate that you own, your website, your email list, or whatever, you want to try to get them into that so that they're then kind of roped in with your overall atmosphere. But if you're just trying to have that full blown interaction on social, there's so much distraction that there's so much more possibility for them to just leave or click off or go somewhere else. So yeah, like give them that little taste, and ultimately they have to get to somewhere else to make the RSVP, to read more information, to do those things. And I think that is a common mistake. Like Sam said, I think, you know, we see that all too often. I mean, there are full blown Word docs being posted in the social, and that's great. You have a lot of info, and I'm happy that you're posting things, but you know, just chop that up into smaller bits, and what can you remove to ultimately make it better? And that's going to do it on today's episode of Sip, Create, Repeat, where we talked specifically on organic social media in our series, The Social Media Marketing Kickstart. So stay tuned for the next episode where we break down paid advertising on social and the way that it kind of connects and intertwines with organic social media. It's going to be really informative. And if you've ever run a boosted post, or you've ever thought about running a boosted post, be sure to tune into that. So with that being said, be sure, if you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to share it with your friends or anyone else that you think might find this awesome. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.